All right, hello, welcome back to Hollyan Hideout. I'm your host, Hollyan Jimmy. Joining me is my co-host, Sander Blades. What's up?
What is up?
What's going on? And today we are reviewing probably one of the most fucked up animes ever, and that is Neon Genesis Evangelion.
Long history.
Yeah, not only that, we will be taking a look at the original anime, the movie, the end of Evangelion, and then we'll be looking at the rebuild movies. We're not taking in the manga into consideration because we haven't. I've only read partials of them, so, or the games, because we haven't played them because they never came over to the United States. So with that being said, we're going to start off with the original anime. Now, Xander, would you like to take it?
Oh my god. All right. Yeah, so essentially it starts out with in this weird kind of like, what was it, the year 2015, I think?
Something like that.
Yeah, it takes place in the year 2015 where
it's like 2049 or something like that.
Oh, well, it's like there's some sort of like weird post-apocalyptic world in which people have, they live in this little separate bases. And the main story takes place in Tokyo 3. Which means, I guess, Tokyo 1 and 2 just got effed.
you can see it throughout the anime how bad it looks.
Yeah. So, like, the main story is pretty much about this kid named Shinji, who, ends up being wrapped up into this world with a few other kids who are, like, having to be a part of this strange battle against angels, of all things. And they have to use these humanoid mechs in order to fight them. And it's like a long, insane history that involves the children. And it seems essentially like they may have always, to me, it seems like they were always going to end up in this position no matter what. Like, right. Even though the other kids in that class can also be pilots as well, like, it's just them. Because we already know, what's his name? Toji. Yeah. He gets Toji in the original anime. Yeah. He gets considered to be, like one of the pilots as well, before he finds out that one of the Avas that he's piloting is actually an angel itself. I mean, and then it goes berserk, and then Shinji almost kills him. I think in the manga, he actually does kill him. But yeah, but that's
actually there is a off series manga where every kid is a pilot, and they actually do have their own Avas.
Yeah, what is that? Is that Angel Days or something? Angelic Days?
Something that's Angelic Days, Angel's Grace or something like that.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, there's that manga, like, because I had the first couple of volumes of
it. Yeah, but I mean, Long just pretty much is like a quick summary of it. It's recognized as being like one of the most popular animes, like classic, pretty much on terms with Cowboy Bebop or Yu Yu Hakusho, Inuyasha, or something like that. Like, it is considered to be one of the best animes of all time. And a lot of that comes from its themes. Because, see, one of the weirdest... Also, yeah, like, it's one of the weirdest things. Huh? Go ahead.
Also, it's like a nostalgia factor. Like, if you grew up in the era of Toonami and Adult Swim, you watch this anime late at night or Saturday, so...
Yeah. I would say it also was one of the reasons why so many anime today have those crickets, those cicadas going wild every damn episode.
Damn cicadas.
Yeah. Melancholy and Suzumiya. Damn cicadas run that place. But I mean, there's a reason for it though, because I mean, they live in a perpetual summer because of the damn second impact. But anyway. So one of the most classical, long standing animes of all time. But the themes within it is probably one of the reasons why people love it so much, because it dives deep into just so much psychological issues.
Right. It dives into a lot of psychological issues, depression, religion, stuff like that. You know, there's a lot of people stuff they can relate to nowadays.
Yeah. Yeah. So this was ahead of the curve.
Right. So another thing is there's three main pilots, Rei, Shinji, and Asuka.
Yep.
For some background history, Rei looks like Shinji's mother, Yui, which was Kendo Ikari's
wife.
Yeah, which is Shinji's dad. she died in an accident. He got like, I want to see my wife again. So yada yada yada, bullshit. Right. So moving on, Shinji, son of head of nerve, Asuka, a German exchange student sent who pilots an Ava who just wants to be loved by her parents. These are the three main pilots of the series.
Yeah. Going back to like their connections to it, the fact that's why we kind of said that they have no real choice. Like Shinji's right. basically born into it. Asuka's mother, I believe, had something to do with what we're talking about, like just the original series. Her mother had something to do with Nerve and when Nerve was like first being formed.
I think her mom and dad was in the military. That's why.
Yeah. Yeah. So and like then, they ended up working on the project somehow.
And then Rey is a husk or a copy of what Shinji's mom is supposed to be, but just in
Shinji's mom
teenager form.
Yeah, and Shinji's mom literally threw herself inside of the of the damn mechs that they use. But yeah, so like just going back to the, I guess, precursor stuff. Oh God, the Lord, Jesus Christ. All right, James, here we go. So basically, they have gods, but they're not really gods. They're kind of like alien deities, alien gods. That's the closest you can probably get to it. Because see, there is a lot of religious symbolism within the story. Like whenever the damn angels blow up, a cross pops up.
Right.
The Sele, who is basically like the Illuminati of this whole show, they get the prophecies from the Red Sea Scrolls.
Right.
Yeah. They get that's, and so they have an idea of like what's coming and who to pick and choose. Like there's even what they call the Madok. Yeah, the Madok society. Right. Which is what they claim is where they pick the children from. But right. Kaiji, who is one of the other characters within the story that we'll, you know, explain more of later on, he figures out the Madoka is literally just Sele.
Right.
Like, pretty much what I took from it is that Tokyo 3, literally that entire area, the people who are working there, the people who think they're just living their everyday lives, everybody in some sort of way works for Sele. Even if they don't even know it.
Right.
Yeah, so what originally happens is that millions, maybe billions of years, there's like this offshoot world where you have these three glowing beings of light. And these beings essentially, I don't know if they die or blow up or some kind of crap, but what ends up happening is that they shoot offshoots of themselves and they send it to Earth in this egg, which is known as the Black Moon. The Black Moon egg lands inside of this specific spot. This specific spot is the same spot where Sele builds Nerve.
Right.
Yeah, like the geofront. This like deep, deep seated area beneath all the magma and rock of Earth. Whew, I hope you just cracked a beer.
Cracked Mountain Dew.
Oh, damn it. All right. Yeah. So you have all this crap going on. And from that egg is this Lilith. Now, Lilith is supposedly where the human race comes from.
Right. So there's also two forms of Lilith, if I remember correctly, from the original series. No, I'm sorry. There's Lilith and Adam.
Yeah, Lilith and Adam. Because it's very biblical again. Yeah, like Lilith and Adam. Adam is essentially, I guess, maybe it's where the Avas come from. Well, that's where they get their looks based upon from. Because see, the mechanized suits that we talked about earlier, they are called Ava. Ava are built from Adam. Adam is, I wouldn't necessarily say a complete being of light, but it's like an offshoot of it. It's just a subsect or a subgroup of it. But anyway, they both came to Earth around the same time. And
Lilith is an offshoot of what the angels are.
Yeah.
Are supposed to be on the embodiment of the angels.
Yeah. So it's like what happens is that once they connect with each other, they connect with each other, like causes complete destruction. So they're separated. And they also have like these two spears. One spear is Lilith to like where she is down below the damn geofront. And the other spear is, I think,
in the Earth atmosphere.
In Earth's atmosphere. Now, the first Adam was discovered by Misato's dad.
Right. Misato's dad discovered him.
Yeah. Which is in the rebuild, it makes it seem way more nefarious. But yeah, essentially, people. Oh, go ahead.
Which he ended up causing when a partial impact to happen.
Yeah.
When he discovered it.
Yeah, what they call the impacts are like this. The first impact was when Lilith landed on Earth and Adam landed on Earth. So way before human, I guess you can say kind of like the dinosaurs or whatever, correct? The second was when Misato's father, along with, I guess, like a blooming nerve, a nerve that's just starting out, they find Adam and it causes the second impact. What happens during the second impact is essentially it changed the entire ecosystem of the Earth. Like all the water is red and everybody's stuck into a perpetual summer. It also like wiped out pretty much everybody within that subsection. Like there's a whole portion of the Earth. I think, what was it like, in Antarctica?
Yeah, something like that. Which also caused them to rebuild Tokyo, which is now Tokyo 3.
Yeah. So, yeah, because I mean, it affects everybody. Because it's like you had said, Asuka, one of the pilots, she comes from
Germany.
Every single, I guess, main military power is trying to do their own version of
right, because you remember in the original anime series, they actually go to America, where in America, it was the USA is actually making their own.
And it was trash. It was garbage.
It's its own.
Yeah,
Ava suit, but it became an angel, which I think it was Ray who took it out.
It was no, like you're thinking about the one Misato has to climb inside of it and stop it.
Yeah.
It didn't quite become an angel though. It just like malfunctioned, because it's like they don't have the same stuff that we have. I mean that we have. They don't have the same stuff that Tokyo has. Because see, Tokyo essentially gets the actual Adam. Like right. Misato's father, they take it and they take a bit of it, and I guess they keep it in like a little fetus position or some kind of crap, or they have like a fetus of it and they take it, and that's what they build the actual Evangelion from. America just tries to use technology to make it, and it ain't the same damn thing, like at all. So really what they just had was a malfunctioning robot. I think maybe based upon some of the same coding and schematics that they had, but it malfunctioned because it is not the same thing. Anyway.
Right. And then Unit 2 was built in Germany.
Yeah, Unit 2 was built in Germany. I'm guessing it's probably because maybe Japan shared its knowledge with Germany, more than likely.
Oh, I think because the Rebuild series actually explains that a little bit better.
Yeah. That's the Rebuild series for you. So, so going off into it a little bit more, the angels come and they just pretty much routinely attack Tokyo 3, specifically just Tokyo 3, because Tokyo 3 is where Lilith is housed. And see how it goes is that, or according to the Dead Sea Scrolls, if Lilith gets joined with the angels, this will be the complete annihilation of humanity. Like, that's it. It's done. It's finished for everybody. So the Avas are there with Shinji, Asuka, and Rei piloting them in order to stop these angels. And that's literally like a weekly basis. It's a straight up just, you know, episodic anime sort of thing. Every single week they got to fight a damn angel. And basically how the episodes run is that every now and then they do like a little slice of life episode, you know, a little bit of comedy mixed in there. And it's very, would you say like the first half of the series is very straightforward?
Yeah.
Kind of like with a lot of animes.
Yeah, because what they're doing is each angel has their own number.
Yeah.
And they must get through each angel has their own purpose. And once they get down to the last couple angels, that's when it gets really serious.
Yeah.
Because those are the more powerful angels. For instance, we'll talk about him a little later, but there is actually a humanoid angel that infiltrates Nerve.
Yeah, that one.
Yeah.
I bet people are mad about that too.
He's also in the Rebuild series.
Yep. Some people actually think he's God.
You know, the Rebuild series kind of made it seem like that.
First angel and last angel. Kind of reminded me of Joshua off of You Know the World Ends With You.
Yeah.
You know why I say that.
Yeah.
He's going to do it the whole time. Yeah, but anyway, yeah, so first half, it was like really cut and dry. Then they end up putting in this character named Kaiji. And Kaiji has like a long-standing history with Misato, who is Shinji's
guardian.
Like, yeah, she's kind of like his teacher, mother figure.
Yeah.
In a sexual way, because we're going to talk about the differences between these characters, because like, there are actually a lot of them. From the Rebuild series to the original, it's on some different level crap. Misato is, like I said, she is the daughter of the man who first discovers Adam. So, of course, she has her own issues with this. Like, the reason why she's doing this is because, kind of like Shinji, she's born into it. But she commands basically the majority of Nerve's battles, right?
Right. She's the combat commander.
Yeah. So she tells Shinji lives with her and Pin Pin, the little cute, weird penguin. And eventually, and she gets drunk all the time. And she just kind of, I mean, overall, like, how would you describe her character?
To Shinji, she's a mother figure that he kind of needed. But overall, she is a, overall, she's like a, she's a comedy character who can be serious, basically.
Yeah, like it gets like the whole entire show itself, what they call a Gannix ending. Like there's an anime term that's called a Gannix ending, which basically means a very confusing, out of left field ending. And that's, this show pretty much
does that,
coin that, because I think it is made by Gannix. But anyway, yeah, like with that, Misato herself makes a completely heel turn, but basically everybody in the show does, because it's like the weight of their issues just catches up to them at the end. So kind of like going off into some of those issues, like we said, Shinji and his father, Shinji's dad, Gendo, he left Shinji at a young age. Like pretty much, I think when the boy was like maybe what, four or something.
Something like that. He was just he was just like a little infant.
Yeah, yeah, toddler. So he just kind of like just left him where he was, but he's always up under the watch of his father. And he I think he like allowed a teacher to take care of him or something like that.
No, it was his grandparents.
His grandparents. Oh, okay. Yeah, so like his grandparents take care of him, and then he goes and, you know, starts fighting for him and all this other kind of crap. But Asuka, like we said, her mother may have been a part of the Nerve in some sort of way, but her issues was that her mom, I want to say, had like a form of depression or something like that.
Her mom had some kind of no, it was a depression. It was some kind of I wanted to say amnesia, but it's not amnesia, but she couldn't distinguish the doll and her real daughter together.
Yeah, like she kept trying to put them together, but it's like, well, we know the trauma of Asuka is that her mom tries to kill her.
Right.
And then her mom, it's like she says, you know, stay with me, Asuka, stay with me. And she tries to choke the hell out of him. And so Asuka gets back. And then Asuka, still being confused, like, this is my mom, why is she trying to kill me? She tries to run back in and talk to her mom, and her mom hangs herself. So that's her issue. So from that point on, Asuka gets to this place of being, I don't need anybody, I'm better on my own, I'm an adult. Which is messed up because the girl's like 14. They're all 14. All the pilots are 14.
And they're 14 forever, unfortunately.
Yeah. And yeah, I don't know if that was it. Was it in the original? I think they just did it in the rebuild.
That's in the rebuild, but they never insinuate in the original because how the original ended.
Yeah, shoot. Abruptly. Yeah, so we'll get, yeah, so given that, like I said, Ray, she's the most cut and dry out of all of them, I think. Which is surprising considering what the hell she ends up being, but she's still like the most cut and dry. Her character is very much just like, I would say, just like deadpan. But she kind of wants to learn more about humanity and people and everything else. And Shinji and Gendo kind of like help her out with that. But mainly Shinji, because at first she kind of has an attachment to Gendo. Remember that? When she slaps the hell out of Shinji. Slaps the soul out of him.
Slaps the soul out of that boy. we were cutting out so bad.
Yeah, well, because see, like, she, in her head, she owes her life, I guess, to Gendo, because he rescues her one day when her Ava is like losing control.
Yeah. And,
like moments like that of like high emotional stress, it kind of gets to her a little bit because it makes her feel. And for the most part, that's what she really wants. Well, Shinji ends up doing a similar thing to her when they're fighting against this angel that like damn near kills her. And he uses his bare hands to open up the cockpit and it burns the hell out of him. And he grabs it out and she just looks at him and is like, okay, I'm gonna be more focused on you, I guess.
Because this kind of causes, because that's what the car, that's what his dad did.
Yep. And it kind of causes like this weird, like little sort of like weird love triangle thing, but we'll go off in the relationship crap later on.
Hey, she's still best girl in that original series.
Yeah, I mean, thank you. So many people, like, I'm like, I don't even understand why people like Asuka. She's okay, I get it, but it's like, bro, hell no.
She's just too bitchy for me.
It ain't even the good kind of bitchy. It's like, it's, you can tell she has insecurities, but she like tries to hide behind those insecurities by being a narcissist. She is a narcissist, like a textbook narcissist. But it's like, you remember that episode when she gets finished picking on Shinji and she like sleepwalks into his little room. She falls asleep and then she's just like, mama. And he says, you a damn kid yourself. I was like, yo, because she was talking to him like, you're such a kid. He says, you're nothing but a child yourself. Like, don't you sit up here and try to tell me about me and my problems when you got way more than I do.
I like how they're going to kiss and she's like, hold his neck. Let's get those dicks on
her. Yeah, she's just so much of her, like, Shinji's whole thing is, you know, according to the anime and according to Risco, is the hedgehog's dilemma. You know, he stays away from people because he's afraid of the outcomes of what may happen, essentially. Like, he doesn't want to get too close because he thinks if he gets too close, bad things will happen.
Or he'll hurt people.
Yeah, he'll hurt them or he'll hurt himself. And what's sad about the anime is that it's actually true. Like, true. His life is. Yeah. He has a reason to feel the way that he feels. But it's like what Asuka, like I said, we've talked about her past and stuff like that. So I get it, but come on. Like, to be mean to everybody, like 24/7, 365 is a bit much. Just talk to somebody. It's like she's a bitch. She's just always like that. And then she dates older dudes from college too. And she's like 14. I'm like, yo, y'all get that girl right. But anyway, y'all get
that girl right.
Y'all get her right. But anyway, yeah. So this weird collection of kids who all have like this trauma and these problems, they work under adults who I would say are even worse than them. Yeah. I mean, would you agree? Yeah. Like I said, Masato, you kind of see that she's a mess. You know that she has daddy issues, like for real. For her, given how father treated her, she has a, can I even say this? Like, I mean, would you agree that she kind of has a thing for Shinji?
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, in the original anime, she kind of has, like, a little weird thing for Shinji because Shinji reminds her of her dad. And this is one of the reasons why she's so involved with Kaiji, because Kaiji is also like her father. Essentially, I'm not here, or I only flirt with you when I had to flirt with you, sleep with you when I had to sleep with you, give you important information, then I'll leave.
Yeah, and Kaji is a character in the original who was a horn dog and a spy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But he was rather important, because I would even say that Kaiji kind of brings in like the weird lore. Because, you know, before that, all we hear, yeah, flash, not flashbacks, but you kind of like these little short increments where they show Gendo and Fukushima.
The
white haired dude. Yeah, Fukutashi. Like, when they're talking to Seilei and they're kind of giving you hints here and there about what's really going on in the Dead Sea and all this and that. But Kaiji is the one that kind of like puts it all together.
Together, yeah.
And then he dies. horrible way. Yeah. Yep. So basically, the people who are working for up under Seilei, Nerve, Misato, she doesn't really know much of anything. Neither does
Risco.
Yeah. Well, I would actually say Risco knows a little bit more than she does, but not enough. Right. Oh my God, Risco's mom, Jesus Christ, so much.
Risco is she's a scientist for Nerve.
Yeah.
So she helped develop the Ray project, and she knows about the Evas because she helped develop the Evas better than what her mom did.
Yep.
And stuff like this. But she's one of those I don't know how to explain her character. I didn't really like Risco that much.
I liked it, but it's just funny that she ended up doing the same thing her mom did.
Did, yeah, with Gendo.
Yeah. Like, yeah, because yeah. I mean, their main base of Nerve, they all kind of have like they run everything, the operations from a machine called the Magi, another religious, you know, subtext. But inside the Magi resides Risco's mother, or like her personality type or something like that. And how this happened was that Risco's mom had an affair with Gendo. Yeah.
Right.
And this was happening not that long after, I say like after Gendo's wife died, he kind of got cold to her a little bit. And she felt some type of way about that. So much so that when Rey came along, the first clone of Rey came along, which is the clone of Shinji's
Yui.
Mother.
Yui. Yeah.
When she comes along, she calls her, what she said, like, you're old or something like that.
Yeah, you're an old hag.
Yeah, you're an old hag. And Risco's mom chokes the living life out of the girl and kills her.
Yeah.
And this is after, this is kind of around the time you find out that, like, she's a clone because that girl is dead. But anyway, after Risco's mother does that, she kills herself. And then I guess they somehow implement her personality to the Magi machine.
Oh, yeah.
And then that version of Rey, didn't they take that version of her and put it in like the Zero?
Yes.
Yeah. So the soul of Rey, of the first Rey that died, her soul resides inside of the Evangelion Zero. And that is one of the reasons why when it goes berserk, you remember like the first time it goes berserk, starts punching the wall and crap. It wasn't looking at Gendo. It was looking at Risco. It was looking at Risco.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, God. Yep. Jesus Christ. So much.
And if you're wondering, Yui Kari's in the solo unit one.
Yep.
So.
Yeah.
So basically, the original anime has a psychological warfare for your mind.
It really is. It's so a lot to unpack.
we're gonna get off of it because it's really hard to explain the original anime. So when we go into the Rebuild series, like we're about to jump into, the Rebuild series.
We first do have to get into the end of it.
Oh God, I forgot.
So okay. How it goes is that the original series ends, like I said, Kaiji comes in, gives people information. The information is basically that Sele runs everything. And the way that they're running it is that they're basically trying to implement something called the Human Instrumentality Project, which is essentially everybody in the world, all souls, men into one, all human consciousness is one inside of like this water, which is basically what was the term? They call it LCL. It looks like LCL. Blood.
Which is actually kind of funny because that's what they
when they say that. They get inside of the Avas, they smell blood. It's basically just angel blood,
right? It's also funny because we'll talk about that when we talk about the Rebuild series,
because they dive off a little bit more into it as well. But it's basically primordial oobs, like the stuff that everybody comes from, yada yada, so on and so forth.
Now, basically, you want to put everybody in one collective mind to live together,
Now. How the game, because I know I won't go say I was going to bring up the game, but apparently the game is semi-canon. How that works is that they say that Sele was not going to do this for everybody. Sele wanted to become gods. That was their whole thing. They were not thinking about putting everyone together in one consciousness. They wanted to rule the world, which makes sense. Illuminati type characters. That's what they were doing. But Gendo basically found a nerve as a means to just get back with his wife. So the whole time throughout the entire series, he's kind of going along with what they want to do, but he has his own plans. And like I said, his own plans pretty much just match up with him getting back with his wife because his wife died and, you know, sacrificed herself to go inside the spirit, the damn Evangelion 01. So at the end of the series, the Human Instrumentality Project plays out pretty much because everybody kind of gets caught off guard. Like Misato finds out about everything literally at the butt last minute. She finds out that like Lilith, or what they thought was an atom below the ground, was actually Lilith. And if you take, what was it like, Shinji's, I'm trying to remember how the original one even ended. Yeah, it basically, Sele comes in, literally just shoots up everybody in Nerve. Like right. They take that hole all the way over, and Shinji kind of becomes like the focal point because his Evangelion eats the core, which is basically the soul of like the final angel, and by doing so brings in the Human Instrumentality Project. Like this is what Sele always wanted from the beginning. Now, like when he does this, the last two episodes are literally just mind screw USA. Like Shinji is just seeing flashes of his future, his present, his past. He's talking to different people. Everyone's talking about their emotional issues, and it all just kind of plays out at the end with Shinji saying, well, with everyone standing around Shinji saying, you did it. We accept you for who you are. And Shinji's like, I accept myself. And that's the end of it. And see, originally, apparently from what it was, is that the show ended like that was because they ran out of budget. Like you stated earlier, you know, they started like just taking drawings and crap and sketches, but they ran out of budget in order to complete the show. So the end of Evangelion was brought up, and that was kind of supposed to be, I would actually say, in a way, kind of like the, some people view it as a reboot. Other people actually view it as a continuation. Right?
Right. Now, which Evangelion game are we talking about here?
I don't even know which one.
Because I'm looking at 10 right now. Oh, are you talking about, you talking about the Secret of Evangelion? Is that the one?
Is it whatever, whichever one shows that Sele had the idea to just use it for themselves.
I don't know that.
Yeah. Golly, how many 10 games are you serious?
I'm looking at 10, but I think there's more.
They just released one this week. Damn.
Hey man, some of these I kind of want to play. Last two episodes of the original anime, they ran out of budget.
Yeah.
So they had to do like this. What they wanted to do, they couldn't do. So they had to go in and do this really mindfuckery bullshit.
Yeah, and I remember that day we got it from Blockbuster. It's like, because remember, I think we were like looking around everywhere for it.
Hey, because you remember, I had the box set. We were watching it, and we just finished this last episode. And we were just like, "What the ever living f is this?"
It's like, because I think at the time I was like, "I think I get it, but I'm disappointed." Like, so at the end, he becomes a guy, and everybody's happy. I was like, "All right, I guess," but you can just see how rushed it was. So we were like, "All right, the end is going to solve the problems."
Then me, you're like, "You know what? Fuck this shit. We're going to Blockbuster."
I was surprised that it was even there, bro. I remember we were like, oh my God.
I told you. I was like, man, I remember seeing it there. I saw it there. So I was like, all right, let's go pick it up.
Oh God, what a time. I mean, the best way that I can describe that is if the TV series got way too hung up on psychological problems, which is what I kind of think. That's what I think it was. Like, because at the end of the episode, you find out how nerves started. You find out everything about Asuka. You find out everything about Misato, about Shinji. It's like it goes really, really deep about each character's like issues. I mean, even some of the outside characters. But End of Evangelion is just nothing but the lore.
Mm-hmm.
Nothing but
the End of Evangelion is pretty much Sele attacking Nerve and Nerve trying to defend it off, and Gendo Ikari implementing his final plans. And it has some very questionable content in that movie.
Starts off
very questionable.
Oh wow. I mean, well, let's, you know, I ain't even gonna lie. Like, to me, like I said, these are the same effed up characters. So
it's just like, why did they have to show that? You know,
it's like, why didn't you just kiss her when she tried to kiss you one time? You got to beat off.
Uh-huh.
Of course.
Y'all just go watch it. All this is on the Rebuild. You can catch on Amazon.
Yeah.
You can catch the original on Netflix, but doesn't have the original voice actors. But it also does have the End of Evangelion movies.
Yeah. And I was surprised that they even let that be on Netflix. That part. Dude. I remember I ran to it and I was like, yo, did they leave it in? All right, that's what's
up. Well, I mean, you also got to think Netflix did a thing about they did a TV show called Cuties, a documentary.
Oh yeah,
yeah.
Anyway, yeah. So
go ahead.
Yeah. So basically, the End of Evangelion is some people theorize that, you know, all that crap that Shinji was seeing in his head, that this was actually going on outside of all that. That like the End of Evangelion in the last two episodes of Evangelion actually one and the same, or, you know, more of an expansion of like what was actually happening. But anyway, yeah. So at the end of it, it's actually a worse ending than what we got. It's way more hopeless. Because how it ends is that Shinji pretty much becomes like a pseudo god because Sele's plan gets drawn out. And after he has a choice to essentially remake the world or bring everybody back, he kind of does it, but Shinji's character flaw, his major character flaw, is that he's indecisive, extremely indecisive, especially in like points of high tension, high issues. So he basically remakes the world, but
only brings Asuka back.
Yeah. He only brings Asuka back at first. Like, she's the essentially what he does is that he gives people the chance to come back, like outside of the ocean, the LCL, the primordial ooze. So whoever has a strong enough will, they can come back. At least that's how I saw it. So it's funny that the first person who's back is Asuka. And basically what he does, he comes to terms with himself and he sets everything back in order, but it's like the earth is still screwed.
Yeah,
and also the reason why I say this is because his mom is kind of a terrible person in the original anime. Yeah, because if you think about it, she just wants to become a god. True. Like, that's it. And see, after the human instrumentality project plays out, that's what she becomes. She floats over the earth and she takes Shinji and she releases him. But see, she uses herself to kind of just be like this over-encompassing being over this brand new planet. And when Gendo tries to get back with his wife, because at this point, he's lost. Like, there's nothing else for him to do. He tries to get back with Yuri, and she eats him.
Yui.
Yeah, she just eats him. Like, he's like, I'm ready to go, sweetie. And he has Adam, a piece of Adam in his hand, thinking he's a guy. And see, that's the other part about it. He does nothing with that. Right. And he has a piece of Adam in his hand. And like I said, because Nerve screws up his plans, he's just like, whatever, I'm just going to join my wife. And she's like, no, I hate you.
No, you abandoned her son.
Yeah. Yeah, and see, there's plenty of times in the show where it kind of shows that she hates him. Like when this episode when he puts a dummy plug, for people who don't know, it's basically an instrument that they use to go, instead of the pilot piloting it, it's like it's automation. Like
it's pretty much, if a pilot refuses to pilot, they can still pilot.
Just pilot them for themselves. And right. It kind of sets the thing into like a berserk mode. Berserk mode is basically when the Avas kind of like use some of their angel form or whatever to.
Right. But unfortunately for Shinji, he was in it when the dummy plug got active. Yeah.
And oh yeah, and see, this is something that just kind of sends him over the damn edge, but yeah. So
that's when he was taking on his friend because they were stuck in the other Ava.
Yeah, because like there's an episode when one of the Evangelions gets pretty much infected or becomes an angel, and this knocks everybody off. But his friend Toji is inside of it, and Shinji, who's at this point kind of a proficient pilot, he doesn't want to do anything. He can't kill his friend. And I don't even think he knows it's Toji in it, does it? At least not
He knows there's somebody in the pilot and he doesn't want to do it. And then somebody tells him it's Toji.
Yeah, and so Gendo forces him to do it even after knowing all that crap. And so this is kind of like one of the last things that happens to Shinji before he meets Kairu, and then he has to kill Kairu. And pretty much his life is just terrible. But all this thing... Essentially, all these things kind of build up to the end of Evangelion, where at the end of it, like, Shinji has to fight against all of his issues to kind of just bring the earth back. And he's laying down on the beach with Asuka. And the first thing he does to her, after seeing that she's alive, is choke her.
Choke the shit out of her.
Yeah, I mean, hard. Like, I've never seen him be that violent.
I love what he said. I love what she says to him.
Yeah, and then she kind of, like, lightly pats him. And it's reassuring at first, and then she just kind of, like, you're disgusting.
Yeah, she said, You're pathetic. I love that.
I guess his meme is kind of like, you can't even do it. But I mean, what I kind of took from that ending was that he was just trying to see whether or not she was real. You know what I'm saying? Like, I think his mind was completely broken. He didn't even know what the hell was going on. And he sees her and he's just like, he just breaks. And then she's kind of trying to like let him know, like, it's okay, dude. I don't know how long this is going to last, but, you know, it's okay. Maybe other people will come back.
So you mentioned a character named Kairu. So for the people who will listen to this, Kairu is, in fact, the first angel who becomes the 13th angel.
In the reboot.
Well, it's also stated in that original anime, too.
Although in the original anime, it was just, like, it was Adam.
He's a part of Adam.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah. Since he is Adam. Yeah. So, too.
Yeah. Yeah. So, he is the humanoid that I mentioned earlier that Shinji befriends, who he turns around has to kill.
Yeah. So, and, I mean, like, going off into that
sets Shinji off into a frenzy where he doesn't want to do anything.
Yeah. Anymore. He pretty much goes catatonic, depressed.
Right. So, let's jump over into the rebuild series now.
Yeah.
So, breaking over to the rebuild series. Rebuild series is pretty much the anime, just in a different perspective from the creator. So the first movie, 1.1, is just the same as the first couple episodes, like up to certain angels. The second one is where shit goes to fucking hell.
Yeah, it completely goes off the rails because, like you said, the first one was just a reinstallation of the original one, like the first three episodes or something.
That's right. And the second one's where they introduce Asuka and everything like that in the second reveal movie. But at the end of it, and seeing the real anime, there's a point where Shinji Ikari reaches over the limit of what where he can, so they call it synchronizing with the Avas. Mm-hmm. He goes past the max of what they can originally do, so his body becomes absorbs into the LCL.
Yeah.
Well, in the rebuild series, about this point of the anime, this is where it starts changing. When he's doing that, he's actually trying to rescue Rey, mm-hmm. and which in turn causes the third impact.
Yeah, or what they call the half or the near third. Yeah, because in this one, which in my opinion, like, which is kind of like a little bit more easier, the gods are the atoms.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so the atoms are the gods, the same fucking thing. Shinji's in the original one was actually part of Lilith, but in this version, Shinji's Evangelion is an atom, like right. straight up. Like, so when it ascends and when Shinji pushes it to its maximum, maybe also having to do something with his mom, he ends up bringing on, like I said, like the third impact, which at this point, Sele did not want. But this is something that Gendo did want.
Yes.
Because, see, the plans, everything is kind of like thrown slightly off, but it kind of lines up a little bit. Because, see, in this version of it, Sele barely even pops up. It's like you kind of see them talk a little bit every now and then. Gendo pops up every now and then and talks about stuff. For the most part, Gendo's plan that we talked about that was not seen in the original series, that is how the series ends.
Yeah, this is pretty much Gendo Akari's plan.
Yeah, and so like
fruition.
Yeah, and his plan, I mean, would you say that like the third or the half third impact was really just Gendo trying to see if he can start it off? Like, I think that was just an experimentation.
It was just an experiment to see if he can keep going with the plan.
Yeah, because see, essentially how the impacts work in this one, there are several different ways. Like the impact with Shinji and Rei is essentially what happens is that he pushes the atom, because that's what he's inside of, to his divine points. And by doing so, he gets with Rei. Because see, Rei was taken in by, she was eaten up by that angel, like one of the most badass angels in the show. Like that mode was doing damage. But like when he takes that angel eats Rei, doesn't it?
Yeah, it takes
it inside of himself, and by doing so, it kind of becomes Lilith, because that's what happens when angels, when they merge with a piece of Lilith, they would just become full Lilith. So when Shinji tries to grab onto her, he doesn't really know what he's doing. He's just thinking, I want my friend back. You know, this is all I want. And when he does this crap, it brings in the third impact, because the forming of Adam with Lilith, as we stated before, literally just pretty much can just wipe crap out.
Right.
Or start off the human instrumentality project. But right. For Gendo, there's several different forms of it. Like in this version of it, I think the first impact was kind of like how it was in the original one. The second impact was the same crap that happened in the original one too, where it's like they find Adam. The third one, or the half one, was done by Shinji up until the point where Kairu comes in with the Mark Six. The Mark Six Evangelion, and Kairu was on the moon the whole fucking time.
Right.
This was the plan that Sele had. And see, I'm guessing what happened was that they saw that Gendo was kind of effing them over. So they brought Kairu down to strike down Shinji and kind of screw their plan up and bring in the actual third impact. That was what I picked up this time around.
Right.
Because see, I was kind of confused about it. I was like, so the third impact didn't play out, but it played out. And Kaiji, in this version of it, he ends up sacrificing himself to stop the third impact.
Right.
Or Nerve's version of it.
Right. Which, you know, I gathered he went and sacrificed his life to prevent it from happening. Right. Yeah. But if it wasn't for Masato pushing Shinji and cheering him on to do what he was doing at that point.
Yeah.
Maybe it wouldn't have happened. Mm. You know?
No. Good point, dude. Really good point. Yeah. It could have played out the exact same way that that nerve really wanted to play out at first.
Yeah, right.
Because, I mean, whoa. Like I said, it's just the this version of it, besides, and also like I said, the first one is just pretty much first few episodes, and then it shows Kairu on the moon at the end of it, the music plays, yada yada. Part two, you bring in part two is when it goes off. Like it's new angels. You bring in the character of Mari, who at this point you still don't really know that much about her, but all you know is that she's another Ava pilot. And
who is kick ass as hell and becomes best girl.
Everybody likes her. Yeah. she's the one now. I mean, she's the one for Shinji. But anyway, so when she comes in, they're kind of just still doing the thing of like getting rid of the angels and this and that and the third. But I noticed something. The show does not dive that deep into the psychological issues. And the reason why I think that is because I think these versions of the characters are actually a little bit more mature. I think they're more psychologically stable than their predecessors.
Besides Shinji.
Maybe so. I think that also what it might be, but we'll get to that. Yeah. So the ending of the second movie, like we had said, Shinji becomes an all-encompassing guy, then Kairu stops it. You remember that part where it shows like Evangelion Q?
Yep.
Like at the end of the credits, that's all the stuff that happens off screen. I'm guessing that's everything that happened maybe in between the time or whatever. That's probably when Kaiji sacrificed himself. So
right
after that incident happens, everything changes,
right?
Freaking,
and then, yeah. Right? The third impact actually caused more of a damage to the environment than anything else. Third impact did, or almost third impact, because that's when it changed the water, it changed this, and it changed the environment more.
Yeah.
But you also got to remember, Shinji actually did turn into that LCL and got sent off into space.
Yep.
And that's when Asuka rescued him, and that's where the third movie picks up, was him coming back to, which is now, I forgot what they called themselves.
Wele.
No. I know they called the airship the Wunderwall.
Yeah, the Wunder. It's like German town. I think it's like, Bele or Wele. They're like they go against nerve. You talking about the group headed by Misato?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. All right. Yeah. So, it picks up. You see Asuka, she gets Shinji back down because he's been like entrapped and they're fighting. I think it was like the 12th angel.
Yes.
Yeah. The 12th angel has like encompassed Shinji and is just hiding behind him. And then they kick it down to earth and then they fight. And then you find out that like Misato has like this big effing amazing ship. And Shinji, they wake him up and they pull him out of Evangelion Unit 1. And so Shinji's thinking to himself, okay, what's happening? Like, why don't you need me? And everyone's being really, really quiet to him. And then he finds out, Misato tells him, like, you're not going to ever drive Eva again. If you do, I'll blow you up. And we'll all try to kill you.
Wele. Something like that. Wele. Yeah, it's so fucking weird.
It's kind of like half-ass, like German or something.
Yeah, it's like, W-I-L-E. So y'all didn't say that? Yeah.
Yeah,
Wele.
Yeah, so it's when Shinji looks around, he's talking to all these people, and then eventually he finds out that 15 years has passed. So another 15 years has passed since he implemented the half or the near third impact. And so he looks at what's that damn girl's name? Ahsoka? Asuka. He looks at Asuka. And he's trying to figure out, like, exactly why is it that she looks to be the same age?
14 forever.
Yeah, 14 forever.
The curse.
The curse of the kids. The curse of the Ava. Essentially, the Ava. Being inside of the, I guess, the LCL or fighting inside of Ava for a number of years stops your aging. Now, we're not too sure exactly if there's a time limit to it. I'm guessing maybe as soon as they step into it, it does that for them. Which kind of makes sense because, I mean, like, come on. Like, you're laying in angel blood. Like, I mean, when you really think about it, that's what it is. They're just sitting inside of a god corpse. So Shinji is all upset and worried, and he just wants to find Rei because the last thing he remembers is that he saved her. And then Ray comes and finds him inside of like something that kind of looks like Unit 01, but I think it's called like Unit 9 or something like that. But they grab him up and he sees Toji's sister, who's now like maybe late teens, maybe early 20s or something. And she tells him, whatever you do, do not get, you know, promise me that you will not get back inside of another Evangelion. And he's just like, you know, I don't know what to tell you. So he just goes with Ray, because at this point, that's his only form of comfort. You know what I'm saying? Like, everybody else is older, except for Oscar, and they hate you. You don't really know what the hell is going on. So he gets captured by Ray, who is working for Nerve.
Right. And once Ray gets back with Shinji, Shinji learns that he needs to befriend a person named Karu. They play the piano together. Yep.
So they brought back Karu.
Yep, Karu's there.
A very weird relationship.
Shinji also learns that Ray is unable to remember anything from the past. Throughout the movie, Karu also shows Shinji's The Ruins of Tokyo 3, explaining that when Unit 1 caused the third impact, this is what happened. Later on, Koza Fukutashi, which is the Gendo's assistant, invites Shinji to play shogi, and that reveals that Yui is within Unit 1 as the control system.
Yeah.
And that Rei is one of her several clones, Shinji's mother. Shinji's distraught by this.
Yeah, it's because it's like one thing after another. Because like, right, Karu kind of helps him get over the Rei situation. Well, I guess the other crap that happens before exposing to him, like you said, that he caused this. And then old dude tells him about his mom. So it just completely just fucks right him up.
And then Gendo implements the new mission to where Shinji and Karu are supposed to pilot Unit 13. So they get in it, and their mission is to use the spears of Cassius and Longinus to undo the third impact. Ray follows in the Mark 9, which you're right. And so you far, the soul on
Adam.
when they go down, Unit 13 reaches the body of the alien life form known as Lilith.
Yep. That's Lilith. And that's the crap that we were talking about that happened off screen. Like, right, that was more than likely Sele's implementation of the Human Instrumentality Project. They took Lilith and they took Unit 9 and they tried to fuse them together. Similar to how, if you remember how the end of Evangelion was, to how Ray was sitting on top of Shinji. Almost like a sexual position or something. But yeah.
Right. And then we learn that Karu realizes the spears are not what they seem. They decapitate.
Yeah, all right. Yeah, so Shinji, distraught, kind of wanting to fix the problem that he basically started accidentally. He's just trying to make something work. So he's just trying to fix his problems because he thinks that it'll make everybody love him again. Because you remember, he even says that for like half a second. He's like, if I do this, Misato will, you know, and he gets real quiet. But yeah, but Karu, like I said, for once, he's actually doing the work of his father, like without even questioning it. But they found out that, I guess, like the spears is two different spears, completely separate from what the hell they thought they were at first. And Karu, much like his original self from the, you know, first series, he wants to help, but he's used by Gendo without having a full understanding of what he's being used for. So when they release Lilith, you know, all the blood goes out, rushing out, pretty much starting off the new Human Instrumentality Project.
The third version of it or something, the fourth version. And then Ray comes down and takes off the head of the Mark 6.
Yep.
And thus releasing the 12th angel, which is exhorted by Unit 13.
Yep.
And Karu reveals that the first angel, after the Awakened 13 rises to the sky, starting another cataclysm, the fourth impact. Karu reveals to Shinji that he is now an angel and is cast down to the 13th. Ray loses control of the Mark 9, which bores the wonder.
The reason why it bores the wonder is because it is literally, they steal the wonder from Sele. Well, Kaiji steals it from Sele. And then they use it. And the Mark 9 is called the Vessel of Adam by Mari because it's literally built into the Wonder. Like, it's used, it was used to take Adam and, like, transfer him from Antarctica to Japan.
Right. And yada, yada, yada. And Mari stops the third impact by ejecting Shinji's cockpit.
Yep.
And apparently that stops it.
Well, it was Kairu's. Kairu kind of helps stop him because he stabs it.
He takes both of the spears
and he stabs himself, figuring out that, okay, like, this is about to get bad. And then Mari, like, ejects Shinji because she's like, they'll probably still find somewhere to use him. And then boom. And so, like, at the end of that, Shinji's just effed up because he sees Kairu kind of much like in the original one, but at least this time he didn't kill him himself. But, like, in the original one, he sees Kairu die. And Kairu is just kind of like the only ray of hope that he had at that point. Like, this is the only person talking to him and befriending him and stuff. And he sees his head explode right in front of him. So Asuka pulls him out and she just looks at him like, you know, come on, like, put yourself together. You're pathetic. You're wasting time. We got to go.
She gives him a lecture on this.
Yeah. And that's the thing. Like, I actually like her because she's mean, but she's not trying to be mean. She's just trying to be honest with him. Like, dude, stuff is happening. You had to come around. But Shinji's just like catatonic, much like he was in the original one. And so the ending of that one, the third movie just ends with them walking off through everything in that area is like solidified LCO.
Yep.
Basically the hard soul part inside all the Avis, that's where all that crap is covered. So that's how 3.3 ends.
Right, and then we get to 3.0 plus 1.0, which is called Thrice Upon a Time. And that is the newest one. If you want to check this one out, you got to catch it on Amazon Prime only, unfortunately. But this one opens up with Waylay in Paris, out of all places, trying to revive the land and nerve attacks them, yada, 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 yada. Then it shows Asuka, Rei, and Shinji walking through the deserted LCL land that's all covered in red.
This movie has some probably like the most beautiful shots. It was well done. But like when it starts off, they talk about Kairu, you hear Kairu's voice saying that there's hope. And the hope that we see right off the back is that they use some sort of new technology that can actually get rid of like the LCL. That was a hope that he was talking about. Because the original one, you get none of that.
Right.
Like the earth was destroyed and that was it.
Right. So Asuka, Rei, and Shinji's walking along, and then their friend, Kinosuke, from the original anime, who was a survival nut, picks him up, brings him back to a settlement of survivors.
Yeah, Shinji wakes up and sees Toji. I was so happy. I was like, oh my God, this is some of the best.
Yeah.
This is some of the best anime I've seen.
Yeah, so Shinji wakes up and sees most of his old high school friends now as adults, as Toji married Hikari, which was the student rep from the original anime.
All saw that coming. It's a fan service.
Yeah,
I mean, she was cooking for him.
True. So, yeah, then turns out he's a doctor. Kineske is like the handyman who's a technician.
Yeah, and everybody in this little one area is kind of a small village that Misato, through some other group name, I think like Kenpei or Kenpai or whatever, they come and they bring these people food and stuff. And Kenpei. It's kind of like people are like roughing it. They're kind of just trying to build a society outside of the LCL contaminated areas.
Right, so self-pity party Shinji's got going on, you know, blah, 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 yada, 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 yada.
That is a good half of it. It's like, essentially, the first half of it just, Rei is in the village now. She's making friends. She's kind of learning what it, and this is the clone of Rei. She's learning what it means to kind of be human. Shinji is catatonic. Asuka's mad at Shinji. First half of the film.
Oh, she's mad up for the whole time. What you talking about?
I mean, it's like she's always mad, but it's like I said, she has a good reason. She kind of does what old girl from Tokyo Ghoul does to old boy. She like shoves food down his face. She just kind of like, listen up, man. Like, I get it. Well, actually, she doesn't get it. She doesn't get to like towards the middle of what she doesn't really know what he saw, but she just thinks, oh my God, it's just Shinji being a, you know, a little brat or whatever.
Right.
But, go.
Right. So throughout this, Shinji's on his own, doesn't want to be around anybody because he thinks he's going to call him problems.
Understandable. Ray,
which is,
I mean, while, it really Ray,
is. While Ray is living life and experiencing what it means to work the land, hang around people, take a shower, play with cats. Yeah. I thought that was weird. You know, take care of the baby that Hikari and Toji had.
Yeah, essentially what I think it is that it's trying to show that this version of Ray may not be the version that Nerd likes.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Like, she may kind of be like the original one or the one that becomes the Quantum Ray or whatever. Right. She kind of sounds like her.
Like him, right.
Yeah, because I noticed that the voice was changed. She has that weird wispy voice. But anyway, yeah, this one's learning, you know, like you said, how to be human. And she tries to, I guess, in hopefulness, she tries to, like, talk to Shinji, who's, like, now sitting by a nerve outpost just day. I don't even know. Was it? It seemed like it was days or something, right?
Yeah, it was a couple of days. Luckily, out there. Luckily, Ray snaps him out of it.
Poor bastard.
She gives him that never mind, that's later. But she snaps him out of it. Shinji comes around, starts going around with Kensei, learning about the places, yeah. Which there on one of the jobs I had to do, they meet Ryoji Kaji.
Yep.
Which
the child of Misato.
Which is a child of Misato and Kaji.
Yeah. And apparently, yeah, she was pregnant with him, like, what, the day of the third impact or something?
Yeah.
Yeah, sad. But yeah, sad, he looks just like his damn daddy.
Yeah, he looks just like him. So, you know, Shinji learns that and progresses on. Shinji's back at his little spot and Ray shows up. And gives him that fucking headset.
Yeah, because at this time,
Hawthorne Heights.
It's if you ever notice too, like the songs he plays, 25 and 26, that was the ending of the original series. And he always rewinds it back. I always thought it was kind of like a cool little thing. But yeah, but she comes up and she gives him the tape because this one he doesn't even want the tape. He doesn't want anything that reminds him of his father and anybody else. Like I said, his reasons for what he is, I completely understand.
Right.
Yeah, you know, you found out that you basically the arbiter of all destruction. The only person who gave you any sort of like friendship or whoever, maybe a little bit more than friendship, but who gave you that sort of attention, they die essentially because of you. And then he kind of snaps himself out of it. Because see, I'm thinking what he sees is that, okay, there's a life outside of the life that I have. You know, here are my old friends. And I mean, I would say even in the original series that Toji and Ken, they were probably some of the most well-adjusted people because they were outside of that, of his life, outside of Nerve. They're just normal kids. You know, he kind of sees that there's hope past Nerve and past Evangelion and all that crap. So he kind of like goes along with everybody. Then Ray's like happy for him. But when Ray's playing with the baby one night, she falls out.
Right. And then she realizes that she needs constant exposure to LCL to help maintain herself.
Yep. So can't be away from Nerve for too long.
Right. And what snaps Shinji into battle mode, as I like to call it, is she fucking just Thanos snapped. Thanos just snapped and she went into liquid in front of him.
She does that crap that they all did at the end of Evangelion. She just turns into LCL.
Yeah.
It's sad because it's like, she's like, I wanted to build more, you know, I wanted to plant more. I wanted to hold the baby more. And then she's like, I wanted to hang out with the boy that I like.
Like,
boom. Gone. And I was thinking to myself, I was like, oh God, this kid is going to kill himself. But no, he just, I don't know if it's like talking to Toji or, you know, talking to Ken or seeing that people are surviving. I think instead of just like going inside of himself and being upset, he just like, you know what? This is it. Like, I need to do something.
Something. Right. Right. I think talking with everybody and seeing how Ray is and seeing how she was getting along, it put him in the better mood. And when she decomposed, he was like, oh God, I need to do something to help these people who are living here.
Exactly.
Or which I need to fix my mistakes again.
Yeah. Because, like I said, the stark difference between this one and the other one was that when Shinji rebuilt the world or whatever, there was nothing to look forward to. Maybe you didn't know. But in this one, you actually see that people exist outside of that world. So, yeah.
Right.
So,
right.
Now he knows there's something to fight
right, for. Right. If you remember, the assistant of Gendo stated that he wanted to put Shinji through the same treatment that Gendo went through.
And that was so
it's the same up. Loss, right? Yeah.
So that's why essentially he let Ray go out there and do that anyway. Because I guess he knew that version of Ray was like defective or something. But he's like, yeah, you just wanted him to see that. So I'm guessing, I don't know if he did that because he wanted to break Shinji more. Like, I'm not too sure if he was just doing it just to be a prick.
His father was forcing him to experience the same loss as what he lost.
Yeah.
When he lost Yui. So, I mean, that was forced. He wanted Shinji to break and come back and.
Oh, so you actually think he did that so Shinji could improve?
Right.
Oh, huh. Right. That's way to look at it. Yeah.
Right. So Shinji decides to go with Asuka. They both go to the Wunda. She tases
the hell out of him.
They both go to the Wunda. Shinji gets put in a maximum security prison cell.
Yeah, then that's when that
bitch was loaded up with the bombs, man.
Yeah, that's when Asuka finds out. She's like, okay, they clearly don't trust us anymore. they think we're gonna screw up. So yeah, just put Shinji, throw him away. Yeah, so they lock him up. And essentially the last leg of Gendo's plan is about to go forward now.
Yep, they head off to Antarctica. And this is where everything gets very interesting.
Yeah. Because they go back to the actual spot where the original, like even from the series, the original Second Impact started. Mm. And Asuka and Mari, right before they go, which fan service, but right before they go, she talks to Shinji and she kind of just tells him, like, you know, I'll punch you, or I wanted to punch you, right? You know, it's because I was indifferent. He said, right. It was because, like, in the moment that I wanted to save you, I didn't know what to do and I freaked out. And she's like, well,
yeah.
Yeah, she's like, you've matured some. At least you have an understanding of your problems. She's just like, yeah, thank you. And then she kind of walks. She tells him that she likes him.
She liked him, but she stated to him that I grew up before you and left out the room.
And she literally did, though. It's like, in time-wise, she's 28 or something like that. Like, 15 years in the past, she's in her late 20s, early 30s or something. Even though she still has the body of a child. But it's like, to her... Also, remember, she kept saying something about how she wasn't human, how she thought she was human. We'll elaborate on that later.
Right. So they head off and they start off this wonderful mission of to prevent Gendo Ikari's from waking Unit 13. They get off, they go into space, and they scattered Kaji's dying wish.
Yeah, he takes like the seeds of life, I guess, pretty much trees, plants, food and everything else, and takes it out of space.
Because he was a man who wanted, he was a man who worked the earth.
Yeah.
So they spread out all these plant seeds and stuff, and they go off to Antarctica. When they get there, they are met by three nerve vessels, and
that are all basically like bigger versions or like same versions of the Wonder.
Yeah, same version of the Wonder, and some
huge fight.
Good little action scenes happening.
Yes, cold. Very good.
Good little action scenes happening. The Wonder gets really fucked up. Unit 13 is awakened.
Now talk about how it's awakened. Talk about that. Yeah, so they get to it, and Asuka thinks she has a chance to destroy it. Because, like, where they're at right now, Gendo, he picks up, like, the nerve building and the Black Moon, which, like I said, pretty much houses Lilith and all that crap. It was the house for Lilith, and he's carrying it across Antarctica. And so when they find it, Asuka attempts to try to, like, you know, kill 13 before she can even do anything. But her AT fields are used to, they're kind of like protection, just shields. Her AT field pops up, stopping her from doing a damn thing to 13. Because at this point, they think that 13 doesn't even have an AT field.
Right, because it's inactive. But she also thinks that her Ava is scared of 13.
That's what it was.
Yeah.
Because you know what 13? 13 is another Adam.
Right. And she rips off her eye patch, turning her into an angel.
Yep. All right. And this is a theory. But You notice that they never said anything about the 11th angel?
Nope.
I mean, considering how Kairu was the first one and then the last one, I'm guessing maybe angels can be different numbers. Maybe like the knife or, yeah, this, yeah, she got affected by the knife angel. So mm-hmm. technically that would make her Evangelion the 11th.
Right.
Because essentially that, and that was the other leg of Gendo's plan. Like they had no clue that they were doing this because essentially when she became the 11th angel, she had the power to juice up the 13th, the 13th Eva to like astronomical feats, essentially turn it into a god. And since it already is a god, it's an atom. It's literally, there were four atoms and it's one of them. It eats her and like it absorbs her. And there's this little moment in the show when like right before it absorbs it, when it talks about, you see like the old Asuka, because she looks at it and she says, mother, like, you know, and see, I don't know if that's the old Asuka from the original series or not, but whatever. She calls her an idiot and she just takes her in. And by taking her in, this is basically just the same as taking in Lilith, because Asuka is a clone. And I'm guessing. Right.
And I like how Asuka was trying to blow her head off. And she's like,
she
oh,
tried.
You think that's
going to
work?
She's like,
I'm going to grab you.
Yeah, you idiot.
Man, she could have prevented that. She could have prevented that from happening, but she just lost it. She froze.
I don't know what she could have did, though. Because, I mean, at this point, I'm not too sure what she could have done. It's like,
shit, I would have got on my seat and started flying over, trying to go back to the LCL.
She just turned her into ether. That was it. She just grabbed up and then the girl was gone. She ghosted her behind, bro. Yeah, so it was like she took it in, this essentially builds the 13th Ava into like God mode. Like he's full Adam now. And then Gendo does some whole other crap when he takes the freaking moon and he turns it into two more freaking spears. And so, yeah, they're all completely doubly screwed up because they have no idea what the hell he's doing. He's taking the impact. He's taking it beyond the fourth. Like what they call the ascending the impact or the next impact or something, but he creates pretty much a brand new impact doing what Sele could not even do.
Right.
And so.
Right. And then he just lands on the ship, gets shot in the head a couple of times by Risco. Turns out he gave up his humanity and became a god himself.
And yes, the payoff. If the rebuild series is nothing else, it is straight up payoff. Because like we said in the original one, he did nothing with Adam at all. But in this one, it's called the Key of Nebuchadnezzar, but it's basically like the skeleton of one of the atoms that blown up. Because in this one, like I said, there's four atoms. Eva 01 is an atom. Eva, I think 09 was an atom. Eva 13 was an atom. And the Key of Nebuchadnezzar is like the corpse of an atom, a small atom. He takes that inside of himself and pretty much becomes like a little demigod or something.
Right.
And then he goes off on his long tangent of exposition about the Human Instrumentality Project. Right. And I was like, yeah, it's the same thing.
Yeah. Shinji walks up, says he wants to have a talk. Unit 13 appears, crashes Asuka's plug. They go off. Shinji's just like, you know what? I'm going to get in the Ava suit. I'm going to get in Unit 1. I'm going down and talk to my father. He gets shot. Well, he doesn't get shot. Mescato gets shot protecting him.
Yeah.
Yada, yada, yada. So he goes down. Mari tells him that she will come back for him.
Yeah.
And so he goes down and starts battling his dad, which I thought that whole entire battle was just fan service all the way.
Dragon Ball Z fight.
I loved it. I loved what they did with that whole entire fight. All of hell is like a movie set. They were at NERV. They were in the apartment. They were in school.
Yeah, because where they're at. Like, they're in this area where I guess Sele couldn't even get to, this place where they call Golgotha or something.
The pillar of Golgotha.
Yeah, this is like the realm of the gods.
Right.
Because see, Sele's original plan was essentially just not really take power from the gods, but kind of make themselves subservient to and maybe ask. Gendo wants to like kill the gods, take their power and become a god himself. That's this whole thing. So in Golgotha, time, space, everything doesn't make any sense. And he said, in this place, you essentially fight through your memories. You fight through your mind.
And so I love that.
Yeah, he's fighting in the area with him and Misato used to eat. He's fighting outside. He's fighting in all these places that meant something to him. And it's just it is kind of an emotional thing too.
Right. And it's like right. And they're both using the new spears, Spear Longinus and the Spear of Cassius.
Yeah. But he realizes that he can't do anything physically to him because essentially his father's Evangelion is another Adam. And they're kind of like the evil version of how his father puts it, like the dark version or something. So they cancel each other out.
Right. So let's go back up to the surface area. Masato and Ritsuko and everybody on the Wonder just plans to build a new spear for Shinji.
Yep.
And have it sent down. So
I mean, it's like Gendo can do it. So
why can't they, you know, he did it using the other ships. Why can't they do it using this ship?
Yeah.
So while they're trying to build this new fancy spear, let's cut over to Mari, which invades his assistant's ship, and how they talk and how they speak to each other is like they know each other personally.
Yeah. And he calls her Mari Iscariot, which is like in biblical terms the last name of Judas, which means that you betrayed me.
Mm-hmm. So
he was the only person to like die. And well, I wouldn't really say die, but he was the only person to like let himself go in the same way everybody else did in the original one.
Yeah.
Like he turns into LCL.
Yeah.
Cause well, at this point, the instrumentality project has started. And see, in the original one, like we had said at first, in the original version, everybody just turned into LCL and they all became one. There was nothing they can do about it. But in this version, the people who have the strongest wills, they're fighting against it. So I'm guessing like Toji and his village, they're okay. Misato and her people who are trying to build the spear, they're okay because they're still trying to, you know, keep humanity going. Because like when they were talking to Gendo, they were saying that, you know, we can just choose a third choice. That's completely opposite from subservitude versus, you know, being gods. You see, we'll just let humanity just live on without any of this.
Right. And of course, you know, Mari takes Unit 8 and merges it with 9 through 12. Because
she was basically just eating the cores, right?
Yeah.
Just getting stronger off of eating the cores.
Yeah. And we also forgot to mention the original spirit from the first Ray clone appears before Shinji in Unit 1. And she didn't want him to pilot, but Shinji's like, nah, I'm going to pilot anyway. Thank you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. She's like, I'm sorry that, you know, I couldn't. The one he essentially tried to say.
Right.
She's like, I'm sorry that I couldn't stop you from doing this. He's like, it's okay.
Right.
Like, yeah, I'm good now.
Right. Right. And of course, we go to Gendo and Shinji fighting the anti-universe, is what it's called.
Yeah.
Gendo shows Shinji the Black Lilith or the imaginary Evangelion.
I lost it at that point. I was like,
I lost it too.
I was like, I was like, man, I'm getting it. Yeah. Well, see, essentially, well, how Gendo puts it is that every little impact changed something. The first impact was the water. The one he implemented was the environment. So this one is basically supposed to bring the spirits, the people. It controls everybody and everything. And when he pulled the mask off of it, we went full end of Evangelion, literally. Mm-hmm. Like, it pretty much just was repeated at. And that's when, you know, she goes in, talks to Fukushito, and then everybody... This is when everyone has a choice of whether or not they want to join in human consciousness or fight on. But like I said, everyone was fighting on. So here comes the sad part. Seems like Misato always dies. Everybody leaves the Wonder. And
they create the Lance of Gaius.
Yeah, which is basically a whole new Lance. Now, during all this crap, Shinji is figuring out, since he can't fight his dad head to head, he just has to talk to his father about what his problems were, like what the actual issues always were. And you get like this little sad kind of sketch. And you find out that Gendo is basically like a lot like Shinji, except just, I guess, less
caring. This is Gendo's redemption arc, or supposed to be redemption arc. So you find out that Gendo kind of cut himself off to the world. He didn't want nothing to do with nobody. He always had his headphones in his
like Shinji,
ears. He either wanted to play the piano or read books and absorb the knowledge.
Yeah.
Well, then he meets Yui and Yui's friend Mari.
Yeah.
So yada yada yada. Time goes on. They get together, have a baby. Yui dies.
She gives him happiness when she dies, because this is the only person, I guess this is the only person that brings him happiness, like, ever. He doesn't care about anybody else except for her. So, when she dies, he pretty much loses it.
And shuts himself off from everybody.
I guess maybe forms nerve. But hold up. The other interesting part that we almost missed out at was Misato's father. Like, the differences between him and the original one and this one is that Gendo kind of hints that her father was the one why all this crap has happened in the first place.
Right.
Like, he is literally the reason why they found Adam. He always wanted to implement the human instrumentality project. Like, this
and
is
right, and that's why Masato, and that's the reason why Masato wanted to stop it towards the end of it. Right. Right.
Yeah. By finding out his dad's issues, he kind of gets to the point where his father finally admits that, like, he's not afraid. Well, he's afraid of Shinji. Yeah, he's afraid of what Shinji represents, like his mother, and he's afraid of, I guess, looking at himself and knowing, like, hey, I was an asshole.
Well, Kendo realizes that when he lost Yui, Yui went to Shinji.
Yeah.
And when Gendo, because that's when he turned his back, because, you know, he turned his back, but Gendo realized he shouldn't turn his back on his son. Yeah. And that's when that character redemption arc ends and Shinji goes on down the line talking to Karu.
Yeah. Quick. It's like, yo, all right, this plot point. I would kind of say that was kind of a little bit of a redemption arc, because, like I said, he just wanted, same as his partner, same as Fukushima or whatever, like, same as his partner, they just wanted the mom to come back. But it's kind of like, oh, you know, like, well, you could have found different ways.
I mean, he could have done something else, but, you know, this is what you chose.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, I liked it a little bit better than some other characters.
Yeah, because it actually made him a good character.
Right. Then Shinji has to go through each freaking person. And he goes through Asuka, and he goes to this person. The last one he talks with is Rei, and he gets everybody all satisfied, and he gets the new spear. He goes to kill himself with it,
and he says it. He says, "This is Evangelion."
He says, "This is the end of Evangelion." Bro, I lost it. I lost it. I was like, "All right."
On Genesis, I was like, "He said the word."
Bro, so there's one part where he's actually sitting there talking to Rei, and the fucking beginning flashes from the anime series.
Yeah. The whole anime, because you remember at the end of the original one when he's sitting in that chair and it looks like a freaking looks like a set stage. Mm-hmm. It's the same damn stage.
Yep.
So pretty much, he's back in this, I guess, area, or maybe it's like or maybe they're actually going more into depth into what was happening. But so he talks to Asuka, and when he's talking to her, they're back on the beach, same positions they were in the freaking end of Evangelion. And I know I looked at that and I was like, oh God, this is getting there. But he looks at it, but this version of Asuka is the rightful age. Like, she's like 20 something, 30 something. And he looks at it and he says, I liked you too. You know, and I'm glad, you know, essentially, like, I'm glad that you were kind of there for me and that you liked me and this and that and the third. And he just kind of like sends her off.
Right.
So he lets her go knowing that, you know, even though they had their problems and their issues, that he did consider her at least more than a friend at some point. But it's kind of like what she told him, you know, like, time has changed. Life has moved on. We've become different people. So that went on. Karu is when things get confusing, like, a little bit.
Karu was all just, apparently he's the head of some organization. Kaji worked for him.
Yeah.
Karu knew that he was waking up on the moon, coming down, repeat this process so many times. Just watch it. We're not going to explain it.
I will explain it. Yeah. So, because it's real quick. Like, he tells Karu, he finds out that Karu, during the time, like, I guess, maybe after, I'm thinking maybe after the nearest third impact. Like, I'm thinking maybe there was like a little bit of a lull or some time in between or something like that, where him and Kaiji were kind of building up things to kind of start off. Because think about it. Kaiji stole Sele's stuff. He had to do all this. It had to take him some time, right?
Right.
Everything that got set up in this movie had to Kaiji. So I'm thinking Kairu was with him that entire time. So this is kind of like a flashback.
I'm thinking this takes place between the second impact and the
yeah
one Shinji calls us by Rei.
Yeah, Like, this is all that happening. So, yeah, he kind of explains them this and that. And then he talks to Shinji. And then a theory that fans have been having since, like, the first damn series comes to life, where you find out that, like, basically the entire series, the original one and this one, is just rebuilt. Like, rebuild is literally, I guess you can say, at the end of the original end of Evangelion, this is what comes off of that.
Right.
Like, when the world gets reset, it gets reset into the rebuild section. So, but in this version of it, and I'm not too sure how many times, like, they've done this, but Kaoru explains to Shinji that, you know, me and you will always be friends, or maybe something else. Like, I've always, like, been trying to make myself happy through your happiness. And Kaiji explains to him, he's past that now. And that's the difference. The difference, right. The reason why this ends is because Shinji finally stops relying on other people for happiness, which is something that all the kids and pretty literally everybody in the original series had that problem. Like I said, their psychosis is what really held them back. And that was why Sele won in the end. It's because of their own issues. So in this version of it, Shinji heals himself, heals Asuka, heals Kaoru. So maybe Kaoru can stop waking up on the damn moon and getting taken by Sele. And then he moves on to Rei. And, like, she's the most simplest one to deal with, because he's just like, listen, you know, I want you to live a life. You know, I want you to experience the things you're experiencing when you were in that village. And then she's just like, okay. And so Right. Then, and like you said, during that point, you see all the different versions of Evangelion playing out. And he says, well, I'm not resetting anything.
I'm just bringing the humans back to the world. That's it.
Yeah, that's it. And I'm taking the Evangelions out of it, which I thought was top notch.
Right.
Because I thought to myself, like, it would suck if that village that we saw just gets remade and everything else.
Right. So as he's sitting in Unit Ava 1, he gets a new spear and he goes to himself, kill himself with it, or you take the spear in. I'm guessing kill himself is how it would have worked.
Yeah.
His mom pushes him away, which he thinks is Rei, but it's his mom, and saves him, and the world gets reformed.
And she joins with the father.
Right.
That's the other difference about it, is that, like, she's not on this whole I want to be a guy kick. Like, mm-hmm. She actually wants to join with the father. She actually wants to put things, you know, back to where they're supposed to be.
Right. Right. So just
all the rays and all the, didn't they turn into like Evangelions or something?
Yeah. So it ends with Shinji. No, it doesn't end with Shinji, but you think it ends with Shinji sitting on the beach by himself, just sitting there.
Drifting off into nothingness.
And, you know, it does that awesome throwback to the last two episodes of the original series.
Yeah.
Where it looks like the animation is just giving out.
Yeah.
It's pencil sketches and stuff like that. And then, boom, pops up Mari. The Ava disappears. She jumps into the water. Shinji runs out. They grab each other. And then, what do you know? He's at a train station. She says, guess who? And he guesses right. And
girl's a big boob.
A girl with glass and a big boobs.
Yeah, he grown now, boy. He ain't scared.
Yeah, and they're all the rightful age what they should be now.
Yeah.
And I love it, because you can actually, on the other side of the translation, you actually see Rei and Kaoru.
Yep. You also see Asuka. She's like sitting. Asuka. Yeah, you see like a girl with orange hair, like sitting next to them off in the corner, but she's by herself though.
Oh, well, I didn't see Asuka. I saw those two because the white hair. That's why I saw those two.
Yeah.
But it accentuates that the world Shinji wanted to create actually happens.
Yeah. It's like,
and it
like
gives everybody a happy ending.
Yeah. How I took it is that, like, he just, like you said, he doesn't, because, like, the differences between the original one is that he actually makes a damn definitive decision. He actually has a plan in this. He doesn't just let whatever his mom or the gods or whatever ordain come to be. He tells people, like, all right, I have this power, so I'm just making a world without Avas. And see, when you think about that, a world without Avas means Misato's father never discovers Adam. I mean, Adam could very well still be on the planet. Well, it's just that he doesn't do anything with it.
He said, I want to make a world without the angels and without, he said, I want to make a world without angels and Avas.
Yeah. So
that's what he did. He just made a normal world where there's no angels, there's no Nerve, no Sele, no Avas. So there's no organization, there's nothing. It's just a normal world where he just gets up and goes to work every day.
Yep.
And stuff like that.
But see, one of the questions that I had is that, do you think that he remembers it and Mari remembers it?
I think they do.
Yeah.
I think they
because of where they were.
Does. Yeah. Yeah. I think both of them remember that, but nobody else does.
Yeah.
So I think that I'm pretty sure the way how it ended, Shinji's all excited, ecstatic. They run off from the train station. Let's get a live shot of two anime characters running from the road.
In the real
world. The real world? I believe that they got together. That's what I believe. I honestly believe she wanted that too. So,
well, because see, like, I'm guessing kind of it's one of those things where it's like she never had that chance. Like, you know, she was basically like a teen or an older teen or something when all this crap was happening. And she just had to do the work for Nerve. I mean, you can technically say she was probably the first child because she knew all that stuff about Ava. She knew way more about Ava than they did, probably because she helped build the damn Ava's.
Probably.
Yes. Yeah,
I mean, she was also friends with Yui and Kari, yeah, and Gendo. And so.
Yeah. So it's kind of like, I think for her, this was kind of a peaceful, her redemption and kind of trying to help out the family and everything else. And for Shinji, like I say, it was just a way to fix everybody and himself included. But it's also a way to, you know, walk away. Because awesome. I think it's kind of like with him talking to Asuka and what he told us, it was just like, yeah, we both had to move away from each other because it's like we're too damaged. You know, the stuff that we all went through screwed us up immensely. We all need a fresh start. Because it's like he could have just went, you know, with a world in which they all hang out and they're all friends, kind of like a Angel Days or something, right. But I think he just went with something just completely different, where it's like, if I see you, I see you, you know, you probably won't know who I am, I'll know who you are.
I want to give you a fresh start in
life. Yeah, because I'm thinking she ends up with Ken. Happens. Yeah, she ends up with Ken, I'm guessing, and Kairu and Ray end up together. Yeah, so I mean, like, after all that, I mean, what would you say about the anime, about the Rebuild series overall?
The Rebuild series is top-notch. I enjoyed them all. Originally, the anime series is top-notch. It still ranks as my number one anime till this day.
Yeah.
In case y'all are wondering, I did a solo podcast when I first started doing it on my top 10 anime. Neon Genesis was number one. It still stands as number one just because of how much thought process, the animation, the characters, the combat, the music, which we're going to talk about here in a second, and the story just captivated me.
Yeah. I mean, if you're a teen and you're watching that, it probably is very relatable.
Well, yeah.
Insanely relatable. Except they don't go through teen angst. They go through real life shit.
So, yeah. So if you choose to watch the original one, the opening is called... Crisis Theory.
You talking about that one?
Yeah, Crisis Angel or something like that. And then the ending one is Fly Me to the Moon.
And there's various versions of it. I ain't gonna lie, like, I kind of missed that, but Utada, I mean, come on, yeah, she did her thing, bro.
It's called A Cruel Angel Thesis.
Yeah, Cruel Angel Thesis.
Yeah, I love that one. I love that intro. And then for the Rebuild movies, they got Utada Hikaru, which if anybody knows who that is, she did Simple and Clean, Face My Fears, Sanctuary, and
Kingdom Hearts.
Don't Think Twice. She did all the Kingdom Hearts music theme songs. So they got her to come in and write a couple of songs for the Rebuild movies. One's called Beautiful World. They did another rendition of that one for the other two movies. And the last one they did was called One Last Kiss. Man, does that hit.
It reminded me of the opening to Kingdom Hearts. What was it? 2 point fragmentary time. You know, the one that has that's about Aqua.
Yeah.
Kind of reminded me of that version of Simple and Clean. It's kind of like upbeat. Yeah, but yeah, like yeah. Those songs.
Yeah.
The music
to Neon Genesis anyway is really great.
It's always good.
When you actually get to hear what Shinji's listening to, it's classical piano music. So
yeah.
Or as me and Xander like to state, that
Hawthorne Heights. Yeah, his emo music, like the stuff that what he uses to turn away from everybody. But I had to say, like, the rendition of A Beautiful World that I like the most had to be the one from the second movie, or the closing of the second movie, like the acoustic version of it.
Right. Yeah, me too.
Yeah, but I had to say overall, like, yeah, you know, you can still like the classic version and this one, because like I said, they're basically, it's a continuation. It's all the same damn thing. And that's why I love probably like the most about this is I think when he was making this, he didn't just want to like just reboot it. You know what I'm saying?
No, he did not want to reboot it. He stated that this is another story.
Yeah.
But
it is the end.
It's like an alternative timeline of it. You know, it's like comparison to Kingdom Hearts for so many timelines, right?
Yeah.
This is what Neon Genesis is, because Angel Days and all these other fucking off-brand off-series mangas they got is just a different thing. So this is what it was, but this is the one that hit the closest to the original.
Yeah, because like I said, this is one, like, this would be like as if the next Kingdom Hearts games, please God, but the next one ever decides to just wrap up everything and say, all right, this is how all the worlds end. This is basically what Rebuild did. It was just kind of like, all right, everything, the loop, the quantum ray, all that stuff, which I don't even want to explain the quantum ray situation, effort, but all that crap, it all wraps up in this one. Because I think, because I mean, when you think about it, like it says thrice upon a time. Now, this is just my own personal theory, but the fact that the very first season or the very first series was essentially wrapped up, but budget problems caused him to make the new one, which is basically a continuation slash reboot of the first one. So that's the second time. Thrice upon the time would literally be the third time, right? In my opinion, like the third time he's hit at this, the Rebuild series would be like the third version of this world, in my opinion.
Right.
But like, he also said something, or I saw something like written on Wikipedia, where it says end or end repeat, which means like repeat. What the hell?
My phone.
Anime people. Yeah, but it's like the end of repeat or the end. So that basically means that this is the end of the series.
So and in my opinion, so
could be wrapped up any better way.
Right. So let's take a look at the Rebuild movies names before we end this podcast. Number, the first one, 1.1 or 1.0, is You're Not Alone. 2.22 is called You Cannot Advance.
Yeah.
And then 3.33.
You Cannot Redo.
You Cannot Redo. And then 3.0 plus 1.0 is Thrice Upon a Time.
Yeah.
So each one of those movies actually have a correlation of what he's thinking.
Yeah. Because I guess in the first one, You Are Not Alone, Shinji kind of finds out, I guess maybe after years and years of just living with the teacher or living with the person that his dad put in charge of him, he finds out that he has the capability of making friends, he has the capability of being around people.
Right. And second one, You Cannot Advance, means he cannot progress further than what he's doing without causing the impact.
Yeah.
And then the third one is You Cannot Redo Your Mistakes.
Yep.
At this point, and then this one is Thrice Upon a Time. Yeah, pretty much, it's the end. Make your decision on what you're gonna do.
Yeah.
So.
And a lot of it like plays into the director, because like it's like I talked about, I think previously before, but like I don't know if he was himself as a hikikomori, but he talked about like the hikikomori lifestyle, shut in lifestyle, and when he made the original series, he was very much into that.
Yeah, he's a neat.
Yeah, he was. Yeah, he's a neat. And you can kind of tell like the doom and the doom and gloom of the original series. It kind of ends with the perspective of somebody who would more than likely be a neat. Like a neat usually is somebody more than likely has depression or something. So it's kind of like Shinji in that version of it doesn't, like I said, doesn't make a definitive decision, but he wants to. You know, he tries and, you know, it kind of gets left up to you whether or not he saves the world or not. But in this one, he meets Mari. And Mari kind of comes back and gets him and kind of like brings him into adulthood. And it kind of separates him from him and all his trauma after he tries to help out everybody himself. And it's like, I think around this time, the director got married or something. And people are saying that, like, that's one of the reasons why he wrote this that way. Like, he's saying that, like, his wife and, you know, his relationship with her kind of pulled him out of his crap. And he kind of was able to, I guess, pull Rebuild out of that. So that's why Rebuild is more of a hopeful situation. I guess it's like you can come out of it eventually.
No, but he pretty much based it on his lifestyle.
Yeah.
I mean, which is
in
cool.
In a very, yeah. In the deepest way possible.
Yeah. So closing thoughts is what for you?
Amazing.
Amazing.
Like, yeah.
Same here.
Like, I think I told you the only thing in comparison to that is probably like Full Metal Alchemist Brotherhood, where it's just kind of like it just continues and answers all the plot points.
Right. So I give the whole entire series and the movies a 10 out of 10. Yeah. Like I said, it was my favorite anime of all time. Still number one for me. This will be one of the first podcasts we throw on YouTube.
Oh, hell yeah.
Yeah. Not only that, the one of the next ones we'll be doing is we're going back to the pit. We are throwing Killswitch Engage and Under Oath into the pit, and we're gonna discuss and make them fight and see which one's the best one. Like we did Certified Lover Boy and Donda, like Drake Certified Lover Boy and Kanye West's Donda.
It should be interesting.
Joining us for that one is going to be Shane Smith, Shano from the Organic Point, or I can't talk, from the Organic Poison podcast. He's been on the show multiple times. We've been on his show multiple times. So this is going to be a very fun and interesting conversation.
He's going to pick Under Oath because he has a damn tattoo of Under Oath.
I mean, I'm going to give you a little feedback on how I feel before this one ends. I'm going with...
I mean, I don't know, man. We may really need to like listen to those albums deeply.
I've honestly been listening to the Killswitch Engage and Under Oath's first three albums, and I just can't make it through the Under Oath albums like I used to. I just can't do it. I can make it through all the Killswitch Engage albums like it's nothing.
Yes. Yeah,
But if that's anything, that's how this is going to go. So in the corners is going to be Xander versus Shano. Xander's backing up Killswitch, and Shane's got the Under Oath. But after that, I wanted to throw Halo 6 versus Gears into the pit. But unfortunately,
we gotta wait on that one.
Unfortunately, we had to wait because
that pissed me off so bad.
Because 343 stated that the multiplayer will not be coming until May of 2022.
Unless you want to just do Die by Die.
Die by Die.
In this open world Halo.
We might have to do that. Probably. We might have to sit down and do that.
Pull out a map.
We'll just mark on the wall where we gotta go.
Man, I hope it is not that bad. Because I remember, like, Gears 5 had like a semi-open world, but they did it nicely.
Like, they also gave you a marker and said go this way.
Yeah, like it wasn't too much crazy. It wasn't like a huge space open world, nothing like that. So
it was like a sandbox.
Yeah, here's hoping that Halo doesn't go too far with that.
So after that, one of the other podcasts we need to do is we're going to talk about Rockstar and their fuck up of GTA trilogy.
Oh man. Yeah. That's bad. Cause I remember on like the last podcast, I was like, hey man, I heard it was pretty good. And I saw recently, I was like, oh shoot, I was wrong.
I downloaded it cause on Game Pass, you download San Andreas. I downloaded it and haven't even tried it.
Dang. Yeah, cause I mean, they basically pull what like a cyberpunk where like, it's the glitches and some of it looks worse than the original game or something.
They say the graphics, they say some of the graphics are really bad. There are so many glitches, or this didn't happen, or this messed up in this, or this mission didn't load right, or just a lot of stuff. We'll get into it. But thank you all so much for tuning into this podcast. Anything else?
No, that's it for me.